Let's sing. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Let's sing a song quick. Joshua is okay. You can hear me, right? All right. Good. Let's sing this song. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. One more time. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you this morning to be in your presence, knowing that, Father, it was nothing but the blood that brought us today in your presence. Nothing that we've done, nothing that we've ever been able to do. Father, we are all indebted to you. And Father, it's only your blood that pays all the debt that we owe. So Father, this morning we are very mindful of that, and we are very grateful. And that's why, Lord, we want to thank you. Father, there's nothing we can ever do. Even Father, if we allow every one of us here to live millions and millions of years, there's nothing that we can ever do to say thank you enough. There's nothing we can ever do to praise you and bless your name enough. And God, we just want to take this little time you allotted to us as mortal to bless your name, to worship you, to thank you. Father, help us to do that. And Lord God, I pray that you help us this morning. Father, of this little lesson that we have, help me, Lord. Father, help me, Father, to share the thoughts with my brethren, what you put in my heart, Father. May I say something that will be constructive, Father. May I say something that will help your children. Father, may I say something that will be useful in the building of your kingdom, Father. Oh, God, help us all. And, Lord, we commit all to your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, We are going to continue our lesson on the Lord's Prayer. So today we are going to see which petition. Well, maybe I get you this time. I got you this time. which petition are you going to see this time? See, the fifth. Because last time, I spent two services on the fourth petition. Remember? So this time, I'm going on the fifth petition. And this is one of the most important passages of scriptures. I'm not saying that all scriptures are not in the Bible that are important. All scriptures in the Bible are important. But before, let me read my scripture before I get into the I get going. So here, let's start with Matthew 6:12. So our scripture is in Matthew 6:12. Matthew 6:12. Okay, Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I'll read one more and you can sit down. We have a lot of scriptures here. And let's go to Matthew 6:14-15. Matthew 6:14 down. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. You may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. So as I said, today we'll be seeing, we are on the fifth petition, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. So this is one, like I said, this is one of the most important scripture. Why am I saying that? And to say I'm not saying all scriptures are not important. And I will spend quite some time on this one. I do not intend to rush on this one, but I want to get into, I want to get into the weeds. I'm sure you've already heard that expression, to get in the weeds, right? It's mean to get into the details, even getting too much into the details of it. And that's what I intend to do. And it may take a couple services on this one. So you may wonder, why? Why do I want to get into the weeds on this one? Well, this is the heart of God. If you remember, on the first, before I started the Lord's Prayer, we started the Lord's Prayer since last year. And I told you that it may take us more than a year. I'm sure people say, what? Oh, he's kidding. What do you talk about Lord's Prayer? Lord's Prayer. Even myself, the first time the Lord put on my heart to speak on the Lord's Prayer, I was in Pennsylvania. And I got my New Testament that I ordered in Hebrew. Because, you see, even though we got the New Testament in Greek, that's what the manuscript were. But we know Jesus preached in Hebrew or Aramaic. Aramaic, Hebrew, and Aramaic is a sister language of Hebrew, mixed up. And then there's also the Galilean accent. That's why Peter could say, hey, you're a Galilean because of the accent. All right? So, now, when you take the New Testament, I've been reading a lot of comments. When you take the New Testament in Greek, for instance, sometimes you see that it's disjointed. Sometimes you don't see how the idea, they look disjointed. I mean, it's the word of God. I'm not saying not the word of God. But when you take, they said, I was reading somewhere, they said they found, okay, I don't know how true that, but they found a manuscript of the book of Matthew in Hebrew. But I know there was something called Syriac. The Syriac also have way back to the first century, they already have the New Testament already in Aramaic, okay? They say if you take that, the idea, it flows. But you take like in Greek, because what happened is that there are things that they can really, you should remember Brother Abraham said, the quote I used to always show you, and when we went to Israel, Brother George Martin was also make that more alive to us, that when you go there, he said the book is an Eastern book. It's an Eastern book, but we are preaching a Western way. And when you go there, some of the things that we see here are like day and night. But it doesn't mean that it's not the word of God, but the way, the concept you have about it, the way we see it, the way we interpret it, is totally like day and night. That's the reason when I was flying back, I was sitting by an Orthodox Jew, and when he found out I was reading, I was learning Hebrew, I wanted to know why. And he said, yeah, that's good. You can go to the source and read like what God said. Like, that way nobody has to tell you what God said. You know what God said. People are saying all kind of thing. Yeah, and I'm sure sometimes when they look at us, we like, you know, evangelical and different things. Sometimes I see people going about what God said. They'll just laugh at us. And that's why God, Brahma always told us that God has to blind them. If God did not blind them, you and I, we can't get in. Because they know exactly as they will call it, they won't call God by his name, they call it Hashem, the name. Because that the personal name of God is so holy that they can't pronounce it. And even when you hear the word Adonai, it's not written. Adonai is never written. It's the personal name of God is written, but it's instructed from the birth that when you say that name, just say Adonai, my master. But that's not just written. Okay? So, Adonai, they know what Adonai said, and we get so much, and that's why you see God has to bring a prophet to bring us back to the beginning, to bring us back to the faith of the fathers. Because God knew that throughout the ages, the seven church ages, after the first churches, Paul laid them out. But the mystery of iniquity, if you remember, Paul said, has already begun then. The devil had begun to sow the seed of discrepancy. And then we went through the dark ages where the seed went into to die. The death of a corn of wheat to come back. And that's what Brother Branham began to talk about the wheat, talk about the tussle, the different things. You see, when Brother Branham is trying to say what is happening. So God had to send a prophet, and he will only take a prophet. He won't take a reformer. He won't take, no, he will take a prophet to bring us back to the mind of God, what God has in his mind in the beginning. Amen. Only a prophet, not a reformer, not anything, not an evangelist, not any of the. It will take a prophet that can go back to the beginning, even before the beginning, and tell you that before the beginning, God through the time, and he created adoption, and put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He take the prophet. So Abraham, like I told Abraham and them, as I always told you, Hebrew is an action. When God is not a God, say, okay, I'm this. That's why I say, I am that I am. He's an action God. Amen? Amen. So God expressed his mind, and Moses and them capture it, but throughout the time he lost. So God sent a prophet who bring us back to that. So as Christian born again, we are supposed to have the mindset of Christ. Okay, as Paul said, the mind that was in Christ, let that man be in you. But how can you have that mindset if you don't know what it is? That's why God had to send a prophet, amen, who has to preach, then Christ is the mystery of God revealed and beginning to break it down so that it will build us up to that mindset of Christ. When I came to Jesus, they said, but then why did Moses have to give a letter of divorce? But God said, in the flesh, Jesus said, but in the beginning, it was not so. So he had to take a prophet also to bring us back to what was in the beginning. That's the reason why I said this scripture that we read today, forgive us our debt, as we also forgive our debtors, in the prayer, and this is the fifth. All right? Number five in the Hebrew means a lot. I won't have time to get into it today. But maybe sometime, Lord willing, we get into it, okay? I say this scripture, the reason I say it's very important, this is the heart of God. It is the center of Jesus' teaching. Forgive us our debt as we forgive. And he said here, if you do not forgive, God will not forgive you. All right, it's the center. It's the center of God's law. All the law of God turned around that. And you remember we preached Ahava. You remember who were there when I preached on Ahava? Everything goes around that Ahava, the love of God. Amen? It's the center of the plan of redemption. Amen? It's God's character itself displayed here. As you can see, after Jesus finished teaching the prayer, he comes right back to that. Look, he said many things. The will be done, and so forth, and so forth. But look, at the end, when he concluded the Lord's Prayer, he comes right back. Right after he's finished praying, if you read when he says amen, amen means so be it, verily, look what he says first. He didn't talk anymore about giving this our daily bread and all those things. He comes right back to that. But if ye forgive not. So that's where the heart is. And I said to the speaker, where his mind is, that's where, and the conclusion, that's where he hit. Because that's what he wants you to get. Amen? All your bread, daily bread, and all that, all God knows all that. That, not, you know, he knows. He has a plan for you. So before I get into my topic, I'll quickly summarize what we've learned so far so that we create that bridge so it can flow. Okay? So I say this is petition number five. And isn't that interesting? You see how perfect the Bible is. So if we take even the book of Matthew, putting down the Lord's Prayer, okay? Number five, and we all know what five is. Five is a number of grace. Amen. Amen? It's a number of grace that we can do nothing without that. And that's why God has to come back to that. Amen? Amen. All right? So, the Bible is perfect. God's word is perfect. Because the word of God is God himself. Amen. So you got to be perfect. So if you have something you don't understand, it's not, don't think that the word of God is not perfect. In you, you're understanding that it's not perfect. Amen? And you remember the beginning, John 1, the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? So we saw that in the Lord's Prayer, in the book of Matthew, is made up of seven petitions. The first three petitions belong to him. Divine nature. Amen? And the four is for his children. And here, let me read completely quickly for you. Brother Bram said, three is the number of perfection. Amen. The first three is for him. Amen? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that's him. Thy kingdom come, that's him. Your will be done, that's him. Have nothing to do with us. Amen? Amen. And then Brother Bram said here, God is known by his numbers. So he even had to display that to us. Brother Bram said here, God make himself perfect in three. He makes himself perfect in Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three offices of one God. He makes himself perfect in justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come perfect, works of grace. He makes himself perfect in three comings. First time to redeem his bride, second time to receive his bride, third time the millennium with his bride. And everything is perfected in threes. And seven is the worship number of God. God is worshiping seven, completed, now perfected, perfected and completed. Amen? So we know that five is the number of grace. So now let's look here. Now, if you allow me to make this illustration, last time we saw that when I told her, he said, give us this day our daily bread. The bread is not just the day, the bread that you get up and go. He said, we know that the bread is Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? And I told you that if you read in the Hebrew, the word that they use coming from daily is hokenu. Hok means law. Amen? Hok means law. So it's something, it also means something that's engraved. Hok. You have your little hook, okay? Who gave me our law? So is that bread is the bread of life way before the foundation of the world. But if I can make this illustration that my wife was reminding me when I preached this in Pennsylvania, I did it to kind of show people when a baby is born, is about to be born. Brother Brown said his angel, he's waiting for him. Amen. By the mother. And I put there, okay, that's just me trying to illustrate, with like his parchment. You know what the parchment is? And that parchment has his law. From when in this law, okay, his date, when he be born on earth, God has that. And you remember last time, I think Mike was saying about the mothers, don't never say that this is a mistake. Amen? His date of birth on this earth, everything on this earth as a mortal is recorded. Amen? So what is the will of God for that child is to fulfill everything on that parchment. And his angel is like standing there before he be born with his parchment, waiting. All right? When that child takes a detour in life, God knew that. Because Brother Brown said God knew the end before the beginning. And that's why he killed the lamb. He made a sacrifice. Amen? He put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Now, if that child in life takes a detour in life, God knew it. If he's a seed of God, he will come back after a life of misery. You see, okay, man? Like you see what God told Moses. Moses was a proper child and everything. He thought we were going to do it. He got spent 40 years of misery in the desert without God. Until God will talk to him 40 years in a burning desert. Until one day now he sees the burning bush. So a child of God, Brother Brown said, when God, the seed of God, all right, you run away from God, you'll be miserable until you come back. Amen. All right? So partially, you take a detour. So we have our children, a different thing. They take a detour. They want to come to church. They want to do sin. All what they're doing is that if they're seed of God, they'll come. They just took a life to go into misery. If you can understand that, you have to say, you know what, let me quickly come back.
All right? You just take a detour, left for ministry, and you come back. All right? So that's why you have to keep praying, have compassion. All right? And that will lead into what I'm about to pray. So let me quickly read something for you here. Brother Bram said, things that are to be, December 5th, 1965. Just as a little baby, its little muscles in the mother are twisting and turning. And see, you notice, you can take a woman, if she's ever so foul, but when she's becoming a mother a little while before that baby is born, there's a kindness about the woman. Get around her. There's always something she's more tender. Why? There's a little angel spirit waiting to receive that natural body. Amen? Amen? All right? Just as soon as it's born, the breath of life comes into it, and God breathes it in there, and it becomes a living soul. Now, just as this baby is being born, then a spiritual body is there to receive it. And that's why I'm talking about that parchment of that. It's like that parchment, if I can illustrate something, you can see that that parchment is there. He's spiritual, everything, God is written there. God has it. The angel has it there for him. Amen? All right? Now, just as this baby is born, then a spiritual body is there to receive it. And now, when this body is dropped here in this earth, like the baby is dropped, also there, all dropped, also there is immortal body waiting to receive the spiritual back in itself again. Oh, what great thing. We are now in Christ Jesus, amen? Amen. Babies, babes in Christ, children of God, waiting for the full deliverance at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen? To receive us up into himself when the body, this mortal, will take on immortality. Amen? Amen? So now, so brothers and sisters, the reason, you know, I've told you even that last scripture, so I can take a long time on it. So brothers and sisters, fear not. Don't be dismayed. Just be faithful and serve God with all that is within you. Amen? Amen? You are not perfect. And you remember, it's his righteousness, not yours. It's his righteousness. Amen? Amen? It's his righteousness. You are not perfect, but have a clean and honest heart before him. Be humble. Amen? Be humble. A contrite heart. That's what God look at. God, like Samuel went to house of Jesse, man, Samuel might have said, whoa, I'm at the right place. That's the big one. These are the good ones. Look at them. They can read. But God said, no. Is there another one I want? So God's ways are not our ways. Amen. What God sees in a man, amen, is not what you see in a man. And that, what I just said now, we feed into a lot of the things I'm about to say. What God sees in a man is not what men see. All right? Meantime, it's a day and night. All right? Like I said, you are not perfect, but have a clean, honest heart before him and love your fellow men. And pray daily that his will be done in your life. Yeah. That's the main thing we should be doing. Amen? Amen? Don't fear. Now remember, God's law cannot change. He said the heaven and earth will pass away, but my word cannot change. Amen? So now let's start our topic. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtor. But before I go, I will read something here from Brother Branham. I'll read a prayer from Brother Branham. This is in 62, May 19, Fellowship. Brother Branham said, Heavenly Father, let the Holy Spirit now speak to us in these few words. God, I pray that there will not be one missing at the day of the judgment, that we'll all be there and all be covered with the blood of the Son of God. Forgive us our trespasses. We hear that you say one time when you was teaching us to pray and you come to the spot, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Then you stop and said, but you see, that's the thing you have to look. Yet in a prayer, Jesus went on and said, lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the power and the glory forever and ever, right? But Brown say here, when we got there, all right? When he say, and then you come to that spot, forgive our debtor, then you stop and said, If you, from your heart, don't forgive every man his trespasses, neither does your heavenly Father forgive you. Do you see how the prophet is dropping in towards the heart of God? He said, that's my heart there. But yet, if you read, somebody can say, wait a minute, the prophet's wrong. If you read, Jesus said other things after. But that's, if you notice, he came right back, said, that's where the heart of God is, if you do not forgive from your heart. Amen? So when you're reading a prophet message, you know, pay attention, come back to the Bible, look at those nuances. What's the prophet saying? Pray. Think about it. Amen? That's why God sent a prophet to bring us back. Amen? So we can understand the mind of God. Amen? Then you stop and said, if from your heart don't forgive every man he trespasses, neither does your heavenly Father forgive you. So we see the place we are in, God. I hope to live to see the day that I can see the church of the living God all line up as one great army of Christ, all covered by the blood, every sister and brother, a saint, marching forward in the power of the word of God. You said you'll restore all that the canker worms and locusts and caterpillars had eaten up. I believe you will do it. Lord, I'm holding forth that you do it. And I hope to see it in my age. If not, I'll sow the seed of your word. And then when the Holy Spirit falls, we know the righteous, the rain falls on righteous and unrighteous. The same rain that waters the wheat waters the weed. But Father God, let us in our lifetime sow nothing but the genuine seed of God. Therefore, when the Spirit comes and falls upon it, may it bring forth a reproduction of Jesus Christ, being a son and daughter of Christ. I ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. That's a beautiful prayer. Amen. So let's try to understand the word or the verse. All right? Like I did last time, I'm going to go word by word. I won't read in Hebrew now, but next time, the Lord willing, I'll do a little bit Hebrew on the word forgive. Okay? So let's read a part of Luke 11:4. So in Luke 11:4, okay, if I read Luke 11:4, I'm just going to read part of it. Luke 11:4. Okay, Luke 11:4 is just the prayer, the Lord's Prayer recorded by Luke. And he says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. All right? So you see over there, it says debt, but here they use sins and indebted. All right? So now let's look at the word. Let's look at the word in the Merriam-Webster. So what is the definition of a debt? A debt, if you look in it, it says sin, trespass, like it says forgive our debt. Another definition is something owed. Amen? That you are maybe unable to pay. You say we owe a debt. Amen? A third definition is a state of being under obligation to pay. You are under obligation is a being a state. Okay, under obligation to pay or repay someone. Amen? And that's that one. Sin trappers, I like that. That's also fit. But here, I'm trying to bring to our state. Yes, I know it's sin and trappers. But it's a state of being under obligation to pay or repay someone or something in return for something received. Amen? All right? So, if we look at that state, you and I today, we are all indebted to God. We are all indebted to Him. We are all in debt. If God has to go against us, We all here file a spiritual bankruptcy. Can never get out of that bankruptcy. Amen? And here they say if you file a bankruptcy in your credit report, it says 7 years. This year, we stay for eternity. You can never get out of it. He has to be the one who forgives you that debt. Nothing, there's no law that can clear that out. Amen? So we are all indebted to God. The very way you and I came to this earth was against God's will. Amen? That makes us sinners by nature. How many were here when I was drawing those charts about soul, spirit, and body? That by that very nature, we are the sinners already. We are indebted. Amen? Amen? All right. So, as what Abraham said here, we are in debt to God, not God in debt to us. Amen? So now, talking about debt, and there was a quote I won't be able to read here. Abraham said, when you come to God with the mind that you're in debt, that's what God like that. When you come, say, oh, no, you know what? I was born in a perfect house. I'm perfect. You know, I pray. I do everything, you know. You think you are so righteous. Like, and that's why Jesus, you know, I say we can go deep in this here. Jesus was talking to the Pharisee the other one say, oh, God, I give this. I give tens. I do this. I pray. But then I just stay there, God. Oh, God, forgive me. I'm not even worthy to stand here. Forgive me. And God, what did God say? He said, that man went more justified. Yes. So when we come before God, you come before him and say, God, I owe you a debt. Yes. And when you are debt to somebody, what do? You go, God, you are to forgive me. Yes. I have no power here. You are the power in your hand. I'm a debtor. That's how you and I, it doesn't matter what status you have on this earth, that's how we come before God. Amen. God, I owe a debt. Amen. All right? Okay. So let me take Matthew 5 here. Matthew 5. And let me start from 20. All right? Matthew 5. But you can go and read the rest if you want to. Jesus said here, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribe and Pharisee, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And God, Jesus talking that he knew they can exceed them. Talk about righteousness. Those people that Abraham explained, they are born from a lineage for him to be there. You can touch him. You can find a spot against him. You can this and that, everything for him. He had to be born a certain way. He was circumcised. He was tall and bar mitzvah and everything. And Jesus said, unless you are righteous, seek those you can. Jesus knew that the people that he's talking to, they can match those. So forward, Jesus said, unless you can't see the kingdom of God. Amen. But he goes here. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But look what it says here. So you see, you are looking at that big thing, killing somebody. For you, that's what really is the sin. But now look what Jesus says here. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So you see, you know what? I don't kill, I'm okay. But I can do the rest. I can be angry. I don't forgive my brother. I don't kill. I pay tithes. I do the big thing. But God is not looking at the big things. God looks at the big things. He does. But the brother said, the little things that you'll be to do, that's what bring you down. Amen? Amen. All right? You see, like I said, we can go deep in this. Many times, we do what we call evil surmising. We all, okay? That's why I say we are all in debt. There's nobody come clean here. Only the word is right. Amen. None of us can come clean. Amen. Only the word of God. Amen. We have something called perception. Okay? You perceive the outside world of somebody, but you don't know what is deep in there. And because of the way we are born, because of the way we are trained in life, what family we came through, that with is a father, what rules you live, father, mother, what rule you live in, it makes that always guide that outer perception of how we see the outside world. Amen? Feel, touch, see, and all that. And that goes to our spirit, affection, memory, and all that. But deep in the soul, they say you are totally two things, faith or unbelief. Amen. Amen? So all that guides us, so we have something called perception. And when you perceive your brother, amen, here something may happen, but deep in there is not. God is looking at that. You perceive him, and sometimes that causes to do what you call evil surmising. You surmise this brother is doing this or doing that. All right, up to there, you haven't done anything. Because that's what came from the outside world. All right, the outer court. It's okay. We all have perception. Now, when that perception begins to drop down in your affection and memory, oh, that brother, he doesn't like me. I don't think I can deal with him. You begin to go into the inner court. That's when it becomes to be dangerous. Amen? And we will see later, Jesus wants you to never let it stay on the outer court. Don't let it even begin to drop in the inner court. Amen. And then when he passed the inner court, you form that opinion, I hate him, I'll kill him, I'll never see it drop in your soul. You begin to hate. Hatred. Harbor hatred. Hate him, I'll never forgive him. It go past memory, affection, it drop there in your holies of holies. Then only God can set you free. But that's why Jesus is telling you, don't let this pass even the outer court. Don't let it pass into even affection. Even if you go there, don't let it have too much influence. All right? Now we see more of this next time. All right, he said, thou shalt not, here. He was angry with his brother without a cause. Because you perceive something about your brother. Are you sure? You are not. You are not. It's just your perception. Is that the way you're born? Is that the way a brother or sister? Okay? It's just the way you're born, the way you see things. Like you see the woman at the well. No, not woman at the well. But the prostitute that brought to Jesus, they perceive her like she's a prostitute. So they surmise against her that this was the evil one we must kill. They were angry at this lady without a cause. Before them, that's wrong, but that's what not the seed of God in her. And that's why he said, the one among you who does not have a sin, cast the first stone. They're all. And he said, where are they? They're gone. He said, I don't condemn you either. So you see, brethren, this intimacy that we are in, we are so privileged that God can bring us even that we can see the mind of God. Amen. And that's why he said in the beginning it was not so. But we have to go back to the beginning. Amen. So he said when you're even angry with your brother, don't think because he didn't kill, don't come and tell me he had never killed anybody. But when you're angry with your brother without a cause, you endanger the judgment. And that's why the reason why we see more compassion, tolerance, understanding, prayer. Like I said, on the outer court, I'm not saying you should never get upset. I'm not going to say it. That's the outer. You remember that chart that I brought? I sure I brought that next time. I'll bring that again. That's the outer world. And you have reaction. They hit you, you can react. Look, if I throw a stone, you go immediate. You don't tell, okay, throw a stone, I'm a Christian. You will not hurt me. Who does that? I won't do that. You can be walking with your child, a stone throw. You don't go. You go like that. Is that right? Because that's where we are born. We need to be real. We need to be tell ourselves the truth. Amen? The Bible says husband and wife must be one. I'm with my wife. Something should happen before, right? Because it's a natural reaction. Is that right? Okay. So, you see what I'm saying? We just have to be realistic and be real. We have to be real people. Amen. God is a real God dealing with real people. Amen. Amen? So, God have no problem if you say, I'm upset. But what God wants you to do, he gives us the formula. Okay? He gives us the formula. It's okay because there's an outer world coming at you. It hits you, have reaction. But now, that's why he say, don't let it go. If your brother comes to you 70 times 7, when that hit, if he comes, say, every time he comes, say, forgive me, forgive. All right? Let's quickly move here, okay? Right. And then be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka. In Hebrew, it's Raka. Now, the word Raka, I know people read it. Let me steal a little bit what the word Raka mean. Okay? The word Raka is appear, okay? It means vain, empty. Don't tell your brother you're empty. You're useless. Amen? Now, it's a word that a Jew used as a word of contempt. That means that person is like worthless. Now, in the beginning, like I said, if you remember Malachi 4, God will send Malachi to do what? To bring us back to the faith of the fathers. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. What does Genesis tell us? In the beginning, God created us. How? To his own image. Yes. All right? And the word you there is Selem. Like when you take a picture, it's like taking a picture, is that word also they used to take, like take it. So it's like if we are the picture of God. All right? So now, if your brother, and we next time that we begin, we go back to Leviticus 19:18. And when God says something, I will always say, why did God say that? And the minute he said that, he said, I'm the Lord God. When you read the Bible, those kind of things come to your mind. Then he said, you shall not bear false witness in your brother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the next thing he said, I'm the Lord thy God. He said, what did this statement have to do with God saying this? You got to go back to the beginning. He said he created man as God's image. Amen? And later we go back to Hebrew by Shochen, dwelling place of God. Now, when God created, he created, and then you are looking at another creation of God, and you're telling me you empty, useless, vain. And look what Jesus said here. If you said to your brother, Raka, you shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, that fool shall be in danger. Fool. And here they're saying that fool is like a downright wicked and reprobate person. Jesus said, don't even say that to your brother. Because he is another creation of God. Amen? Amen? So, we will continue next time. I was just trying to establish what the debt is, okay? And we read, when you have time, read Psalm 130. And when Psalm 130, which I love a lot, he said if God will sit down and begin to record, when you're mad at your brother, I record it, and there's no one, he said, who can stand? No one can stand. All right? He said, God said, okay, I'll record you. You said you go to church all the time and record it. Last time the speed limit say 55, you were driving 80 miles to get to church. Okay, I'll record it. Can you stand? None of us can stand. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to fellowship around your word today, Lord. And Father, I thank you for giving the opportunity to be able to share these few thoughts with my brethren. Lord, bless us all, and Lord, may we take this to heart, knowing that, Lord, we are all indebted to you. And may that, oh God, guide our attitude one towards the other to make us more compassionate, to make us more forgiving, to make us more tolerant towards one another. God, we commit the service to your hands, and we commit the oncoming service to your hands. We pray that you bless the minister, bless the worship, the song leading, and everything. May all be into your hands. May we give you all the glory. And Father, help me and help us all to continue this thought next Sunday, if it's your will. Yes. We pray and ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed.